Good morning and welcome to our service. A service such as we have today is known by different terms. A memorial service, a funeral, but I prefer to refer to it as a victory service. Because Jesus died and rose again as our Savior, He has given all those who believe in Him as their Savior victory. Victory over death. When we pass away, we go from death to life everlasting in heaven. And we conduct this victory service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, as we gather together in your house of worship to hear your comforting word, to sing the praises of your holy name, and to offer up our prayers and petitions in your name, be present with your Spirit to comfort our sorrowing hearts and uplift our spirits in the knowledge that as our Savior, you have conquered death and have given us the gift of life and immortality in heaven, which is ours through faith in you. Because of Terry's confession of faith in you, we rejoice in knowing that even now, Terry is with you in heaven. Help us to focus our minds and hearts on your comforting word, rejoice in it, and give thanks to you for your priceless spiritual and eternal blessings to Terry. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The obituary of Teresa Jordan Bliss. When we have an obituary, we do so not to glorify those who have passed away, but to glorify God, who has blessed those who have passed away. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 14, where the psalmist says to the Lord, "You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." We praise God for blessing G. James and Lois Lee Ne Beeman McVelt with the special gift of Teresa Claudine, born to them on September 19, 1951 in Honolulu, Hawaii. John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Teresa was spiritually born again at infancy in the eternal family of God through the sacrament of holy baptism, and was made a partaker of God's saving grace through faith in Jesus Christ. She was confirmed in the Christian faith as a teenager. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23, 18, verse 15, and Revelation 14, verse 13. In all labor there is profit. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. With the gracious help and blessing of God, Teresa graduated from MacArthur High School in Houston, Texas in 1969. She took a medical center course in 1972 and continuing education courses at North Harris County College from 1974 to 1983. She worked as the information desk at the Houston Airport, as an accounting clerk in 1980, as a regional secretary from 1980 to 85, as the insurance billing clerk from 1985 to 1987, as a medical receptionist from 1987 to 1992, and then started working as a medical transcriptionist when the family moved to California in 1992. Inspired by the love of God, Terry used her talents for the benefit of others, sewing to make clothing for women who were less fortunate. Besides sewing, Terry enjoyed crocheting, knitting, beading, and making jewelry, and would often bring crosses she made to give away to members at St. Stephen. She would take in recycling brought to the church by others and put the money into the women's auxiliary treasury. Also at church, she was consistently in the kitchen, setting out food and drink for fellow members. Being concerned for her neighborhood, she walked around collecting discarded bottles and cans for recycling. For personal enjoyment, she read books, gardened, and visited with neighbors. Proverbs 18, verse 22, and 31, verse 10. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The Lord united Terry to Dan Jordan in a marriage in 1970, to which marriage the couple was blessed with two children, Ambrose and Patricia. In 1987, Terry married Alan Benedict. And finally, in 2013, she married Wayne Bliss and remained in this union until the Lord took Wayne home to heaven in 2023. Psalm 23, verses 4 and 5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. In the latter part of July, Terry injured her back. During back surgery, it was discovered that she had been stricken with a cancer called multiple myeloma. Well, her body quickly succumbed to this disease, yet having faith in her Savior, who conquered death, conquered sin and death, she gained the victory of everlasting life in heaven. The time of Terry's life was 73 years, 11 months, and 15 days. She was preceded in death by her parents, Brother Kenneth McVeld, Sister Linda Boyle, ex-husband Dan Jordan, husband Wayne Bliss, and niece Phoebe Isaac. Those still living in their time of grace, Sister Sharon Bailey of La Selva Beach, California, son Ambrose Jordan of Susanville, California, daughter Patricia Jordan of Hillsboro, Oregon, nephew Jeremy Menifee of Seattle, Washington, nephew Shannon McVeld of Oakland, California, niece Kendra McVeld of Marietta, Georgia, nephew James Ivy of Somerville, Massachusetts, and nephew Rick Deininger of San Jose, California. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. We continue our service with the singing of Amazing Grace, found on page 2 of the bulletin. Please rise. We continue with the worship liturgy on the middle of page 3 of the bulletin. We've come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we've disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I'm altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you of all your sins by the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in Him, which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Shepherd's song. very helpful. It reminds us of Jesus, our good shepherd, who provides for us in every way of our life, so that we truly plan. He's with us to their end. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness, his name. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm afraid of evil. For you are with me. God, in which I have a comfort. He prepares me to be for me. Truly goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and dwell in the house of the Lord. The next reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 25 and 6. These are the words of our Lord that have spoken to you with your family. We just recently lost the brother of Lazarus. He came there to comfort her in an hour that he was the resurrection and the life. And he proved that when he raised Lazarus back to life. Jesus said to us, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Blessed are they who hear the word of God.
Hallelujah. Please rise. We join in making confession of our Christian faith, which confession Terry made throughout her life, and we share that belief that she had. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing for the reading of the sermon text. Grace, mercy, peace, and comfort be given to you from our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words of God that we will be meditating upon this morning for your comfort, as well as to give you hope, is found in the Old Testament book of Job, chapter 1, verses 18 to 22, and chapter 19, verses 23 to 27. While he was still speaking, another also came and said to Job, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. Later on, Job said, "Oh, that my words were written, oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." So as far as his word. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who lived, died, and rose again to give us eternal life, to fellow redeemed, and especially family and friends of Terry Bliss. In the well-known prayer which Jesus has taught us to pray, we offer up this petition to our Father in heaven. Thy will be done as it is in heaven. This is a very brief petition and said so quickly, and I wonder how often we really give it a whole lot of thought as to what we are praying to God and asking Him to do. And yet we always think, do we always think of it and fully understand God's good and gracious will for us and our loved ones? And then pray with a heartfelt resolve that we submit to God, "Thy will be done." What about those times when God and His governance of our lives, we were faced with difficult trials, tragedies, or loss of loved ones? Are we able to say to God the Father, "Thy will be done"? Look at the Old Testament believer Job, who was stricken with one tragedy after another. In the space of a short period of time, he lost pretty much everything that he had, and he was a very wealthy man. Lost it all, including his health. Even though he didn't fully understand everything that lied behind it all, yet he was granted the grace to respond by saying to God, in effect, "Thy will be done." What about the matter of Terry, who was stricken with a deadly disease which cut short her earthly life? As God helps us to understand His good and gracious will for Terry, not only does God enable us to say, "Your will be done for Terry," but we also thank and praise His holy name, as did Job. The different ways Job provides us with a wonderful example of a Christian response to God's will for ourselves and our loved ones, and especially in time of death. Put yourself in Job's place when he received the devastating news that he lost all of his children in a violent storm. And he had a lot of children. It happened so quickly, he had no time to be prepared for this huge loss. Job could have very easily become embittered toward God, thinking that God had coldly robbed him of the enjoyment and life of him and his children growing old together. But instead of blaming God for terribly wronging him and his children, Job quite amazingly was prompted to praise God. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How could Job have cause or reason to praise God in the midst of such great loss? As a child of God, when he raised his children, he raised them in the Christian faith. And so Job was able to praise God because of his understanding of God's eternal will for his children. The good and gracious will is that when God, in his infinite wisdom, brings our earthly pilgrimage to an end, we are ushered into the eternal realm of glory in heaven. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a delusion, because this has been revealed to us by God's inspired word, in which we find the absolute truth of God. And since God knows best when's the right time to call his children home to heaven, it's a matter of putting our faith and trust in him, in his timing for us and our loved ones, whether it be in the early years, the middle years, or old age. Job quite naturally was filled with grief and sadness, and that could be seen by him taking his garment, just tearing them and shaving his head. This was a sign of grief and sorrow and sadness. However, the tears he shed were for himself. They were not for his children. You know, thinking not of himself, but rather for the eternal welfare of his children, he thanked and praised God for giving them the ultimate blessing of taking them home to heaven. For those of you who are blessed with children, I know you want the very best for them. Can you think of anything better than to want your children to be in the Christian faith and taken home to heaven? Patty, I know you dearly loved and treasured your mother, as did also other family and friends. Having Christian love for Terry, which is the highest form of love, like Job, surely you wanted what was best for her. And according to God's all-knowing power, his infinite wisdom, as well as his loving kindness and tender mercies, what was best for Terry was to take her home to heaven before any of us. And since our Heavenly Father always knows what is best for us and our loved ones, we say to him in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." Your will be done, not mine. Terry is one who greatly appreciated the gospel in word and sacrament. The reason I can say this is that she faithfully came to Bible study and worship services on a weekly basis. Not hit or miss, not now or then, or occasionally, like Christmas or Easter time or whatever special day. She faithfully came every Sunday. She was one of the first ones that arrived at church on Sunday morning. She not only came early to get ready for Bible study or for worship services, but she also came early so that she had time to make coffee and put out food for others to enjoy. As Terry drew near to God in his house of worship and prayer, in order to hear that saving gospel and word and sacrament, the Lord, in his rich grace and mercy, drew near to her. He reminded Terry of the great love with which he had for her. How that in eternity, he foreknew her and chose her. Not because he looked in the future and saw what a nice person she would be. He chose her because of what Jesus would do for her. To make it possible for her to become a member of God's eternal family, and that also in eternity, God in his love planned out the way for Terry to become a redeemed child of God and heir of heaven. The plan involves sending his only beloved son, Jesus Christ, into this world to live a perfect life for all of us, including Terry, so that she could be dressed with a white robe of righteousness that covers all of her imperfections, so that God was well pleased with Terry and looked upon her as a holy child. Holy child? You know, she was not perfect. But Christ's righteousness covered all her flaws, so that God saw her as a holy child. It also involved Jesus suffering God's punishment for the sins of the world, so that each and every day Terry could be comforted in the knowledge of God's full and free forgiveness for all her sins, every last one of them, and to receive the gift of eternal life in heaven. What God planned out in eternity, our Savior Jesus willingly and lovingly carried out that plan for our eternal redemption. And that was not easy. If you study the life of Christ, especially the final days of his life, it was very difficult when he was faced with his enemies and bore our sins on the cross, tempted by the devil to come down from the cross, and yet he willingly endured all this for us. He was willing to accept God's will for him, for you and for me. And then he sent his Holy Spirit to create faith in our hearts so that we believe, we receive his priceless gift of forgiveness and are made members of God, members of his family for all eternity. Now, very important it is for us to be reminded of God's eternal plan and gracious will for us, so that we're strengthened in our faith and we never lose our hold on eternal life, his eternal blessings in Christ Jesus. His gracious will for us gives us peace of conscience, joy of life, and the sure and certain hope of eternal life. This, more than anything, is what Terry and all of us need, especially when we're coming toward the end of our earthly stay. And knowing how precious this will of God is for us and for Terry, we say to our Heavenly Father, Thy will be done. When Job's health was stricken with a dreadful affliction from which there was no relief, and because of which he thought he'd die, he didn't curse God like his wife advised him to do. Neither did he fall into the feelings of hopelessness and despair. Rather, knowing by faith God's eternal plan and will for him, he made a beautiful confession. Confession of faith. And he wanted that confession of faith to be written down for future generations of time. Listen once again to Job's confession of faith. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. That they were engraved in a rock with an iron pen and lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Job could stare death in the face and know that it was not going to be conquering him. Instead, because of what he knew about his Redeemer God, who would be coming in the person of Jesus Christ, Job would enjoy victory over death. According to God's eternal plan and will for him, because of Jesus' victorious death and resurrection as the Savior of the world, Job confidently believed that although he would die and his body would turn into the dust of the earth, yet on the great and final day of this world, Jesus would be returning from the clouds above, and he would be raising believers from the grave and change their bodies to glorified and perfected bodies. And he would see Jesus face to face. Job looked forward to that day with eager anticipation, saying, "How my heart yearns within me." He yearned for that day because he knew that a day was coming when Jesus returns, that Jesus would usher in a new, perfect earth. When I was young, I thought that when we'd be going to heaven, we'd somehow be floating around in the clouds. Wouldn't be a physical life. No. He's going to bring forth, he's going to belt this place with a fervent heat, bring forth a new perfect world, a new perfect earth. A place where there'll never be again any sickness or disease, pain or suffering, sorrow or sadness, no more death. It will be a perfect world that will never end. Job also longed for the eternal day of heaven because he would be reunited with his loved ones and never again be separated from them. Knowing this eternal plan and will of God, Terry knew by faith that because of her living Savior and Redeemer, she had a bright and glorious future ahead of her. Beyond this life. Knowing this, Terry and all believers say to our Father in heaven, "Your will be done." While Job, with the gracious help of God, handled well the death of his children and his own impending death, he still had questions in his mind. Why? Why these grievous afflictions in life? And why now? At this point in his life, some of his friends vainly tried to help him answer that question by telling him, "You know, Job, you must have committed some very grievous and dark sins, and God is punishing you for them." They couldn't have been further from the truth. As Christians, we know that because Jesus was punished for all of our sins, and God won't be punishing us for any of our transgressions. Paul made this beautiful declaration in his letter to the Romans concerning this, saying, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." From the book of Job, we know that Satan was behind the many different trials and tribulations that Job had to endure. He was trying to turn Job against God, put a wedge between them, so he'd no longer believe in his Savior, and would lose his hold on eternal life in heaven. We also know from Holy Scripture that the curse of sin has brought all manner of problems in this life, including sickness and disease. All manner of problems. In the case of Job and all believers, we understand that God, in his infinite wisdom, goodness, and mercy, uses all these trials and tribulations to draw us closer to him and to strengthen us in our faith so that we never lose our hold on eternal life. It's important for us to ever keep in mind that everything that God does in the governance of our life is always to carry out his eternal will and purpose and plan for us. And what is it? What's God's will for you? Is that when you come to the end of your days, you believe in Jesus and you're taken home to heaven. So keep that in mind when you're going through difficulties, trials, and tribulations. God uses that to keep you close to him so that you're strengthened in your faith and never lose your hold on eternal life. Knowing this helps us to say to the Heavenly Father concerning all of his dealings in our life, your will be done. Since God brought to perfect completion his eternal will and plan for Terry, by receiving her into the eternal habitations of heaven through Jesus Christ, we thank and praise his holy name, just as Job did. And we say to him concerning ourselves, excuse me, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, the peace of God which surpasses human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We continue that hymn is based upon Job's wonderful confession, I know that my Redeemer lives. Please rise for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, maker of heaven and earth, giver of life, we thank you for all the mercies you granted to our sister in Christ, Terry Bliss, during her earthly life, especially for calling her to faith in Jesus Christ and preserving her in the Christian faith until the very end of her days. Help us to accept your good and gracious will for Terry, knowing that you always know what is best for your children, and when is the right time to call us out of this world to yourself in heaven. Comfort the survivors who mourn her death with the hope of the glorious resurrection and a joyful reunion in heaven, all of which Jesus made possible through his sacrificial death and victorious resurrection. Keep us mindful that we are mortal, so that we will ever be prepared to die in the faith and finally receive the glory promised to all who trust in your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. This we pray in his name, in whose name we also join to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive with believing hearts the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. Continue with our final hymn, Abide With Me, and please note to stand at the singing of the final verse, verse 6. Please be seated. Good morning again to you all. We welcome all our guests. Ask if you would please to sign our guest book in the entryway. There will be a light luncheon following the service today in the fellowship hall. There's a box or a basket, I should say, in the entryway on the table for any who have cards for the family. Also, I know, and you all know from personal experience, when you go to a service like this, which I call a victory service, it's not always easy to sing because of the emotions that run high. It's not always so easy to listen to what's being proclaimed. So I'd encourage you to take home your bulletin and read through it, especially the hymns that are so full of meaning and comfort. And if you didn't hear everything said in the sermon, there are copies of it in the entryway on the table in the rack, if you'd like to take one home to give further meditation to the Word of God proclaimed today. Next Sunday, Pastor Udy will be starting up adult Bible study at 9 a.m. in a regular service time of 10. And may God in His grace be with you always.